بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر ونشهد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected elders, brothers, sisters, the title of my fifth book of Juma Khutbah is Race Towards Forgiveness. The book was released a couple of weeks ago and you got the notice for that. I gave it that title because especially in these days of COVID, our mortality, the fact that we will die, has been brought to our attention very graphically. As we stand here, as I stand speaking to you, 300,000 Americans alone have died with COVID until now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve this suffering, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve this test and this calamity for all of us, inshallah. This shows us the need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised us to race towards. We must reboot our attitudes, our behavior and our lives for this to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. Which means, Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, perhaps you hate something, but it is good for you. Perhaps you hate a thing, and it is good for you. And perhaps you love a thing, and that is bad for you. And Allah knows, and you do not know. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi said, a calamity that makes you turn towards Allah is better for you than a blessing which makes you forgetful and makes you forget the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see with our knowledge. We do not see with the eyes alone. The eyes are like a camera. Seeing and looking are two different things. We look at things, but we say we see something when we understand what that means. We see with our knowledge. The way I look at a person and the way a physician looks at a person are very different things. Both of us are using eyes. Both of us are seeing the physical appearance. There is no difference in that. But the physician understands what he is seeing from that physical appearance, which is the clinical diagnosis, which I can't do because I don't have that knowledge. So we see with our knowledge. As Muslims, we need to see life with our knowledge, which is the knowledge of the Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah. We cannot look at life the way everybody else looks at life. We must look at life as Muslims, meaning with the lenses of Iman and Yaqeen, with the lens of Tawakkul, with the lens of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu one day about which there is no doubt. My brothers and sisters, COVID brought our lives to a rude halt. Then it forced us to relook at ourselves and to answer the question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us 1400 years ago. فَأَيْنَ تَذَبُونَ Allah said, where are you going? And until now we told Allah, no, hold on a second, I'm busy. Can't answer this question just now. فَأَيْنَ تَذَبُونَ I was in a Quran recitation competition one day. I was sitting there as one of the guests invited, and this child was reciting Faina Tathabun, and everyone was praising, Mashallah, what beautiful recitation, what beautiful tajweed, what beautiful this, beautiful that. They asked me, what is your opinion? I said, well, what's the answer? I said, what is the answer? This is, what do you mean answer? I said, this is a question, no? This is a question. So the question is being asked. If I ask you, where are you going? And you reply to me, where are you going? Where are you going? Is that an answer? I'm asking, where are you going? So tell me where you're going. I'm going to the bank. I'm going to going there, here, there, wherever, right? I said, what are we teaching here? Yes, we must recite the Quran correctly. Nobody says don't recite the Quran. Nobody says recite the Quran incorrectly. But the point is, Allah is asking a question. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ? Where are you going? What is the answer? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ? What is the answer? We must relate. It is the living kalam of the only living God. هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ. We have to relate. My brothers and sisters, people talk about time to wake up. I say time to wake up and get out of bed, because there's no point in waking up and still lying in bed. That's worse than sleeping. Everybody wants to wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up and do what? Do something, right? I'm awake, I'm not sleeping, I'm still lying in bed. What's the good of that? So the question to ask ourselves is, what do I do after I wake up? Now what will emerge from this still remains to be seen, but we hope that we will become more responsible and hold ourselves accountable and learn to relate to each other with love and compassion, and to the earth and its inhabitants with kindness as trustees. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his guidance for us all in the path of his beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, so that our lives become a means of goodness for all those who share our lives and spaces. This year has been unique in many unbelievable ways. We've learned to live under a pall of fear and gloom, to deal with it and still remain functional, alhamdulillah, and productive. We became stronger and more resilient. We were inundated with changes which we would never have dreamt of even in our nightmares. Who thought that we would pray standing 6 feet apart? Who thought that a time would come when we would when our massages would be completely shut down? May Allah protect us from that. I don't know whether that's going to happen now. Who thought that Ramadan would come and go without Taraweeh and Qiyam and Itikaf in the masjid? Who thought that Umrah would be suspended? Who thought that Hajj would be done on a minute scale with strictly controlled safety regulations? Who thought planes wouldn't fly, offices would shut down, and the daily commute would be from the bed to the desk, in the same house, maybe even the same room? On the other hand, who thought that we would be able to reach an unprecedented number of people without moving from our desks? As you know, I do a class every day, Monday through Thursday, and then the Jummah, so that's 5 lectures per week. They're all recorded, they are on YouTube, so it's all countable, all the numbers are there. In the last 1 year, 27,000 people listened to those lectures. There's no way on earth I would have got 27,000 people to listen to my lectures if it had to be done physically. So this is the other side of the story, which is the power of technology and so on and so forth. Now who thought that international conferences and seminars with hundreds of people in attendance would be done without spending one single cent on travel or hotels? Who thought that children would go to school from home, and that homeschooling, which had been something of a curiosity, would overnight become the norm? What that means for the travel, tourism and hotel industries and all those who worked there is another story. But what that meant for Zoom communications and those who invested in that stock is another story. It's something else. Who thought that the means of getting us close would also become the means of creating more distance? Who thought that loneliness would become a killer competing with COVID? Who thought that mental illness would become a parallel pandemic? Who thought that all the symbols and gestures of closeness and brotherhood, shaking hands, hugging, kissing, equality, mutual love and respect would become taboo? And if done, would set off alarms of suspicion and ill will. The word negative and positive took on new meanings. Who thought somebody would be very happy to get a negative score? Being responsible became more important and included others like never before. I can go on, but I will leave you to add to this list if you like. But what is true is that every single one of us got Vision 2020 very wrong. Not a single fortune teller or seance specialist or vastu or feng shui guru or scenario planner or strategic thinker or plain simple person could have predicted what every single one of us across the globe experienced from September 2019 till today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show us exactly how powerful we are. And I think he made his point rather well. What remains is for us to use this opportunity to map a road to success. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, if there is one message that COVID-19 came with loud and clear, it is that I too can die. It may sound like a no-brainer, but I'm sure we will all agree that too many of us had gotten used to living as if we were immortal and unquestionable. Well, that fog has now been cleared. There are over 1 million people in this world who would agree if they could speak. My brothers and sisters, one day we will meet Allah. It doesn't matter whether we believe this or not, it will happen. And when that happens, we will be questioned about what we did and what we chose not to do. And on those answers will depend our eternal lives, which we will live without end. Death will die. In the Akhirah there is no death. And that is why it is essential that we make sure that we reach the Akhirah in a state where we will be entitled, inshallah, to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy. And will be granted entry into Jannah. I make this dua for all of you. COVID came as an eye-opener, as a warner, as a reminder that if we remain engrossed in the deception of this life and the toxic culture that is the global norm, then we will be losers before Allah. As an experiment, if I asked you to name the 3 most successful people in the world today, I can bet you that probably every single one of you will name 3 billionaires. That is the standard we have become used to. Money is our single criterion of success. We don't care how we make it. We don't care where we spend it. We don't care about anything other than how much money a person has. When we say net worth, we mean only money. Not character, not morals, not ethics, not values. But if I ask you a question and say, what do you value in your spouse or your close friend? Money or kindness and compassion, truthfulness, integrity, morality, harmony, honor? I'm sure not one of you will say money over any of these things. Because no amount of money can buy any one of those things. Yet, when we talk about net worth, we talk about value, you talk about money. That is hypocrisy. That is nifaq. So who's more intelligent? Someone who sells things he can never buy to what is essentially garbage in its first stage, or someone who refuses to compromise the priceless? Who's more intelligent? Go to a car dump yard. I did a Google search on dump yards near me. I found lots of them around here. Go to a car dump yard. Look at those cars there, rusting to nothing. And remind yourself that every single one of those cars was somebody's dream car one day. That's what I mean by garbage in its first stage. The single fundamental change that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought about was the definition of net worth. From the person with most money to the person with most character. And that changed the ranking from Abu Lahab to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Nobody understood better than the Quraysh that Islam means a total life priority change. And that's why they fought it. And that is why those who embraced it were so true to it. I remind you and myself that no matter how fast or slow we move, we can only reach the destination that we make our goal. So let us ask ourselves, what is my life goal? The title of today's khutbah is Vision 2021, Part 1. So I'm giving you this as a homework. If you would like to do it, write down your life goal when you go home today. Write down your life goal. What is your life goal? Doesn't matter how old or young you are. Life goal. What is your life goal? And then ask yourself two questions. What will I get if I achieve this life goal? First question. What is my life goal? And be true to yourself. Don't write some fancy life goal after listening to this khutbah. I want to become Hafiz Quran. I want to become Alim. We know exactly how true that is, right? So forget that. Write what is really your life goal. And then say, what will I get if I get my life goal? If I achieve this life goal, what will I get? And second question is, what will I have to give up to get this life goal? Because believe me, my brothers and sisters, anyone who imagines that he can get something without giving up something, you must ask him, what are you smoking? It's probably not legal. There's no way. Every single thing, Allah did not make the world like that. There is a rule, and the rule is there is no free lunch, there is no free breakfast, no free dinner, no free nothing. You want to get something, you have to do something. You want to get something, you have to give something. You want to get something, you have to give up something. Whatever that something is, maybe it's my laziness. Maybe it's watching this or that thing on television because there are only 24 hours. For the guy who's spending 22 hours sitting watching a football match which is not playing, he's still got 24 hours. Those 2 hours are not coming from somewhere else. He is giving up something else for watching that football match, except that he's not aware of that. So, two questions. Write your life goal and then ask yourself, what will I get if I achieve this life goal? And second question is, what will I have to give up to achieve this life goal? I'm a great believer in documentation, so I submit to you, please take a piece of paper and write these things down. Don't just think in your mind. Write them down. Ask yourself, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the single-minded pursuit of profit at the cost of everything else? Somebody asked Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi how it is possible that people who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or even who accept him as Muslims but deny his orders and go against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet they seem to have everything going for them in life. They get money, they are powerful, they win elections, all sorts of things happen to these people, and you look at them, these are the people who are doing everything within quotes wrong as far as Islam is concerned. So they asked Imam Shafi, how is it possible? Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi recited for them this ayat of Surah Al-An'am. He said, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Which means then when they had forgotten all that they had been told to take to heart, all they had been warned against, they ignored everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say? Does Allah say I punish them? No, Allah said, we threw open to them the gates of everything. When they deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they refuse to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they are Muslims, if they do that, what happens? What is the first situation? First situation, you get more money. You get more friends, you get more influence, you get more this, more that. We threw open to them the gates of everything until as they were rejoicing in what they had been granted, we suddenly took them to task. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَهُمْ مُبْلِثُونَ And they were broken in spirit. Even the time to make tawbah and istighfar will not be given. Imam Ash-Shafi said, if you see somebody committing sin, meaning yourself first and foremost and others, if you see somebody committing sin and you see that more and more wealth and this and that is being given to them, know that the adab of Allah has already begun on those people and the doors of hidayah have been shut. Wallahu alam. Now, brothers and sisters, the idea of saying all of this is so we can look at ourselves. The purpose is not for us to point fingers at anybody. We must look at ourselves and say, what we see as our standards of success. For example, how can people borrowing money on interest, on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war, be called successful? How can people who are ostentatious in their lifestyles, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called ostentatious people, ikhwanu shayateen, the brothers of shaitan, how can they be successful? I can make a list, I don't need to make the list, I will let you make that list. Please understand, I'm not against worldly progress. I'm not against wealth. I'm not allergic to money. I'm not allergic to power. The issue is, how do you get it? Where do you spend it? In the famous hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he quoted Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, the strong believer is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the weak believer. But there is goodness in both of them. Be eager for what benefits you. Seek help from Allah and do not be frustrated. If something befalls you, then do not say, if only I had done something else. Rather say, Allah has decreed what He wills, because verily the phrase, if only, opens the door for the work of shaitan. And this is in Sahih Muslim. By strength is meant every kind of strength. Strength in iman and yaqeen and tawakkul and knowledge and science and technology and political power, authority, wealth, physical prowess, strength, every kind of goodness in life. We must aim for that. We must excel in all of these things. There is nothing romantic about poverty or weakness. But to acquire these at the expense of our akhirah is a very bad bargain. That is the reason why we need to be clear about our goal and the means of achieving it. Next week, inshallah, we'll talk about life goal planning, but do the exercise which I told you, because you can build on that. I want to end with this, which is that in Islam, the end does not justify the means, and the means do not justify the end. Both must simultaneously meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's criterion of judgment, which is to live our lives according to the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wealth acquired in the right way made Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu people of Jannah. Power acquired in the right way made Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and others people of Jannah. Question is, what do we want for ourselves? Who do we want to be with? That is the question for us to answer before we are called to answer it. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Allahumma tawaffana musliman wa alhiqna bisalihin. Allahumma hadina fi man hadait wa afina fi man afait wa tawallana fi man tawallait wa barik lana fi ma atait wa qina wasrif anna sharra ma qadait fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk. فإنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تبارك ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين يا رب العالمين يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة